lucky in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
Hello, and welcome to the Illumination Cinema Movie Podcast Halloween Special. I'm Tyler W. Moore, and
I'm Christopher Strong.
And
why is this Halloween special?
We
Tyler?
Are talking about some spooky movies here on the Halloween special. Just a fair warning: we're gonna be reaching levels of too spooky, or possibly even three spooky. So you know, get ready for that.
To get ready for is whenever this podcast gets released, like about 3 weeks after Halloween ends.
Ooh.
Okay, great.
Spooky deadlines.
Anyway, so we're gonna talk about Miyazaki today.
Spooky Hayao Miyazaki movies.
So this podcast we're talking about Lupin the Third, the Castle of Cagliostro, Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind, Castle in the Sky, My Neighbor Totoro, Giga's Delivery Service, Pocoroso, Princess Mononoke, Spirited Away, Howl's Moving Castle, Ponyo, and The Wind Rises.
Alright. So, I have not seen Lupin the Third, so Chris, why don't you go ahead and give your opinion on that really quick.
It was great.
Sweet. So, Nausicaa and the Valley of the Wind.
No, okay. So Lupin the Third is a was a great series long time ago. Used to watch Adult Swim all the time. I used to watch it like just it come on like this is a great show. I used to love it. This movie right here is kind of one of those movies like you can kind of just watch it without having any knowledge at all about the series, and it's awesome. I enjoyed it. But it's very much a Lupin the Third kind of story, and Miyazaki had actually worked on some of the Lupin episodes before, so this is not the first time he's worked on something like this, but he's also first it's the first time he's worked on a feature film. So that I thought it was like just a really great start to his career. So watch it. I definitely recommend a good watch out of it. I think you'd enjoy it. It's not a movie that, you know, that people are gonna remember like 30 years from now going, oh, this is a great movie, blah blah blah.
Right. I don't even know if it's a movie that people remember right now, but
30 years from now, if you want to watch it, it's still probably enjoyable.
Right.
So that's something else that's kind of nice about it. Okay, so I guess you want to move on to Nausicaa?
Sure.
The Valley of the Wind.
So yeah, Nausicaa is, it's a pretty cool movie. I really love, like, 80s action anime, so, like, this is right up my alley. Has a really great look to it, has a really awesome soundtrack.
I would say it's more like up your valley.
Jesus Christ.
Da 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 da.
I quit. It's one joke too many, Chris. It's one bad joke too many.
It's a joke too far. Okay, totally. The slug creatures in here.
Oh man.
They not freak you the fuck out.
Oh, they're so cool. Like all of the designs in this movie, like all the weird sort of like almost sort of steampunky, like gritty like designs are just really, really cool in this movie. It has a really nice apocalyptic feel.
Post-apocalyptic?
Yeah. Yeah, dog.
Yeah.
It's great. There was a great release of this movie before.
Oh, yeah,
this.
Yeah.
I think it's like a great representation of what the movie was really about.
Superior dub.
Superior dub. Called Warriors of the Wind. Which I recommend very heavily.
I would say watch that before you watch the actual the Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind.
No, this is a, you know what, I think Miyazaki was wrong. I think that the Americanized 95-minute version of this was great. Hey man, when you have to heavily edit a movie down for like some kids or whatever, you know?
Yeah, because kids are stupid. You know, yeah, exactly. Like they don't understand anything that's happening, so you have to like take everything and butcher it down so that, you know, there's stupid little peanut brains will understand it, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure that the 21 minutes, 50 seconds that was cut out of this thing, it probably didn't matter anyway, so.
Right.
Yeah. No. Man, whenever, kind of funny story, whenever Miramax was thinking about cutting up Princess Mononoke, one of the producers at Studio Ghibli sent an authentic katana with a simple message saying, no cuts.
Nice.
So, because, man, I haven't watched it, but I've heard about how much of a hatchet job it was, so I'm avoiding it as much as possible. They kind of treated it like Jack Nicholson and The Shining. Just really just hatched it up.
Yeah. The movie was The Door.
And... yep, exactly. Yeah. And the audience was his wife, I guess. Yeah, with Shelley Duvall. Yeah, Shelley Duvall. Minus the bad acting. Anyway, if you watch that movie, by the way, there's a great Stanley Kubrick movie podcast you can listen to. I'm great at plugging your stuff now.
Oh boy. Yeah. But yeah, this for all these movies, I'm going to kind of like label them as like mainly to give sort of you my main impression of the films, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
If I would buy them or not. And I would say that Nausicaa, I would probably buy it.
You should absolutely buy it. In fact, I'll probably buy it for you at some point.
it's certainly not his best movie in any way, but like I kind of said before, like Humble Beginnings, and I like, because I love this sort of look so much, it's definitely like right up my alley. So I think I'll probably end up getting this one at some point.
Yeah, and I ended up buying it just because it was, you know, Miyazaki and I wanted to watch it, so.
Right.
That's something about the Disney releases, though, is that they love to charge you money.
I will get more into that when we talk about Kiki's.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do you want to move on to Castle in the Sky, I guess?
Yeah. Do you have anything else to say about Nausicaa?
No, in fact, it's just awesome movie. Also, like I said, it's a really good start, continuation of a start, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Castle in the Sky.
This is the first movie, and I think the only movie, the only movie that he has, where there's actually a bad guy or villain in this movie. Like, there's a straight-up villain in this. Like, he is evil.
Right.
Evil, evil dude. I love the visuals in this movie. I think, like, more than most other movies that he's made.
Hmm.
Because the fact that just, like, I don't know, looking at, like I said, just looking at this castle itself is just a great visual right. piece. But, I also like the costuming and the, not costuming, whatever, the clothes that they wear are awesome in this as well.
Yeah, like a lot of the art direction.
Art direction, yeah, thank you. Art direction is fantastic. Very colorful.
Yeah.
But yeah, they utilize colors very, very well in this. I mean, he does that a lot in this, but this one like really sticks out to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I thought it was really cool. Like I said, this is the first one that has a bad guy in it. It starts off, so Shida is on a blip, but she's about to get kidnapped by these evil, evil people.
Mm-hmm.
And also, she's already been kidnapped by evil people in the first place, so she's kind of just surrounded by a bunch of evil people.
Mm-hmm.
And she ends up falling out of the blimp. Down, 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 down. Or the ship, I guess, wasn't much of a blimp. It was more of a skyship.
Right.
And
she's falling, and then she hits the ground and splatters into a million pieces.
No, that's whenever she's discovered.
The movie ends 5 minutes in.
That's when she is seen by our main male
right.
actor. Character, I mean. Not actor. Idiot. And character. And he catches her. And they go on a nice little adventure together. Which yep. is fantastic. We're trying to solve a mystery of who she is and about the castle in the sky, which is called Laputa.
Yep.
Yes. Footing castle.
So I honestly, this one didn't stand out too much to me. Here's sort of the problem with like me watching some of his earlier movies. Is that I've already seen like all of the really good stuff he had done later. So like going back, they weren't quite as good as some of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Although has plenty of fun characters.
Mark Hamill,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, I was just about to say, excellent voice work by Mark Hamill.
It's kind of weird, I don't know how they put the Joker in there, but it worked out really well.
Yeah, he basically sounds like a toned-down version of the Joker.
He doesn't, by the way. He really doesn't. And Anna Paquin, if anybody knows, like, you know, X-Men or... What's that dumb vampire movie or show that she's on?
What?
It's show like a dumb vampire. It's like some dumb vampire thing, right? True Blood. That's what it's called, True Blood.
Yeah.
Okay, so I looked that up. But back to our actual movie, though.
Yeah.
Great movie to me. I bought it and I do not regret it. Regret buying it. So.
Yeah, I said, it didn't stand out too much to me. I wouldn't buy it, but like, I don't have much to say about it. But I, you know, it's a good movie. It's definitely worth watching like once for sure. I don't know.
That's okay. We can disagree.
Right.
I mean, you're wrong, but it's okay.
Next movie.
Yeah. Next movie.
My Neighbor Totoro.
Totoro. I think it's a terrible movie. Just one of the worst movies of all time.
I'm embarrassed for you, Chris.
What?
Nothing. Don't worry about it.
So I started singing. Don't care.
I would say that this is where Miyazaki really got good. I think this definitely stands out as like his first, like. Just really, really great movie.
Yeah.
Like, totally matching the quality of a lot of his later stuff as well. What do you think, Chris?
I think it's a piece of garbage. Can't believe that they've made this right here. Because, like, I think it honestly represents pedophilia and Japanese cinema.
Let me tell you, there's two things. There's two things that Miyazaki loves in this world. It's airplanes and upskirts.
There is a lot of okay. There's a lot of upskirts in this movie. There's a lot of them.
All on little girls.
Yeah, it's a little weird. A little bit weird. I think it's just, but I get it. It's
you know, sex sells.
Oh my god. We can't publish this. Okay, so the two people that you need to focus on big time in this. Is Dakota Fanning and Ellie Fanning. Because when they did this like this, they were probably about the same ages as our two main characters in here. And they were actually recording in the booth together, which I think actually made it a lot better for the voice work. There's actually two versions of this movie. Mm-hmm. There's a Fox dub of this and the Disney dub.
Right.
And I actually watched the Fox dub, and I can tell that the two girls were not very cohesive in there. I think it's people debate about this online all the time. They'll be like, you know, Fox dub being more superior because of this and the other thing, and the Disney one being superior than this thing and the other thing. The thing that Fox dub has over the Disney dub is the opening theme to this is better in the Fox dub than it is in the Disney dub. Literally, that's the only thing I've ever found. Like, the two girls are not as good. No offense to their acting, they just weren't as good in comparison to these two right here. Because they were in the booth together. They're actually sisters.
Yeah, they have chemistry.
So they have, yeah. So they have all that going for them. The Fox dub was kind of like, oh, this is okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the other thing is like the Totoro sounds a lot less scary in the Fox dub.
Oh, God, yeah, that's one of my notes here. I wrote down, Totoro is fucking terrifying, and if I would never approach him ever.
Rawr.
Yeah, first thing he does as soon as he wakes up is that 3-year, like 4-year-old little girl is braver than I am. Shit.
You know what the big hero also got going for it? Was a freaking cat bus.
Yeah.
Like, at first I was like, oh, that's kind of a cool movie. Like, they're waiting there for like their dad to come. By the way, spoilers. Waiting for the dad to come like home from the university. And you think that his bus is coming by, and it's like, how? So the dad's gonna see Totoro, right? That's like, okay, this is gonna be a thing. But also, this cat thing that's shaped as a bus shows up. I'm not expecting, by the way, the teacher from the Magic School Bus to walk out of there at any point in time. I'm not kidding with you. It's Frizzle, yeah. To walk out at any point in time, because, like, this movie was like, I'm sold. I want this thing.
And then Arnold says, "I knew I should have stayed home today."
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, my next to Totoro.
Okay.
Great movie. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the little girl there is like way more brave than you are.
Oh, yes.
Because you're a little baby.
I'm. Oh, yeah. You would approach that thing, Chris.
Yes, I would give it a big hug. It's okay. Adorable. Wait for its claws to tear my face off.
You would have that gigantic, freaky smile and it would bite your fucking head off, Chris.
I know that smile is like, you know, if somebody was to re-edit this movie right here.
Just, take down the brightness a little bit, jack up the contrast, it would look like a horror movie.
It really would. It really would. Okay, so I only just found out not too long ago what the mother's illness was. The illness wasn't specific, didn't specify about it. It's supposed to be apparently tuberculosis.
Right.
And that's based off of the fact that Miyazaki's own mother was away because of her tuberculosis. So it's kind of interesting that he put that his kind of self into the movie.
Right. Like that. This movie, it just has like a really great laid back, chill atmosphere.
A little bit of conflict in there that kind of keeps the story going. Just a little tiny bit of it.
Yeah, like but that's like, only like near the end too.
But you let the characters like you just want to just enjoy watching them kind of like.
Right.
Go through their experiences of life. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. You know, little there's... slice of life story.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. So, with the big creatures and stuff that...
Slice of life story.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've you know, ridden on a cat bus.
Yeah, you know, grew a gigantic tree and ridden on a cat bus.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that father in there. Let's talk about the father for a second. Because this is really important. Either he's unable to see the stuff right there. It's kind of seems like he probably couldn't see the stuff. Mm-hmm. Some of the weird things going on. But he's in his study. All of a sudden, this like huge tree appears. He doesn't notice.
Yeah.
It's like, dude.
And there's a giant monster outside screaming and
roaring. Taking your children up to the air. Which, and they could have died, by the way, in case you're wondering. Here, yes. Great, you're a great father. Yeah. You're about as good as a father as Goku right now. So, yeah.
Great movie.
So would you buy this movie, Tyler?
I already have this movie, Chris.
Would you buy this movie, Tyler? Yes. It's the question I asked
yes.
you.
Yes, I would.
Okay, then. Great.
Don't hurt me.
Ah, Keith's delivery service. Okay,
Speaking of upskirts.
Okay. Other than that, great movie.
Mm-hmm. Very similar to Totoro in terms of, like, atmosphere and characters and...
Yeah.
Sort of the same sort of tone.
Slice of life.
Yeah. In all honesty, I'll kind of just give this preface for anyone who's kind of, like, interested in Miyazaki movies. He makes two, maybe three kinds of movies. Like, once you've seen one version of them, you kind of seen all of them. Yeah, there's like the sort of slice of life ones with just, you know, small story, nice characters. And then the other ones like the bigger sort of epic action adventure movies. And then about half of those, which might be a subcategory, are like Save the Forest movies. So yeah, there's three types of movies. That's not to say they're not good every time, but... There's a formula to it.
Watch yourself. Send all the hate mail to tyler@illuminationcinema.com.
And I'll forward it to chris@illuminationcinema.com.
And then I shall re-forward it back to you like grandma.
Except this time it'll have some anti-Obama thing attached to it.
Yeah, something that Tim Allen said, probably.
Okay, so Kiki's. What do you think of Kiki's, Chris?
I think it's a great movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
This movie, I think the dub was done around 97, I think.
God, I was like 6 years old. Yeah.
And so Phil Hartman's in this as Gigi. So this is probably one of his last roles.
Yeah, right before he unfortunately got his ex-girlfriend, I think.
It's either his like or his ex-girlfriend or his wife or something like that.
Yeah. Let's talk about that on the podcast. It's kind of sad. But also it also has the voice of Debbie Reynolds, which is insane because that's how long ago this was.
Oh, yeah.
And Kirsten Dunst, before her career tanked.
So full of hope. She was in this, she was in Small Soldiers, then she was in the Spider-Man movies, and then,
what was it? Oh. Yeah, a couple years into her, Millennium kind of crashed.
Just like Will Smith.
Yes.
But yeah, man, really, again, same vein as Totoro, really great characters, just, you know.
Okay, so obviously we're going to spoil territory here, obviously. So, What did you think, better way to think of this, how did you feel about the ending of the movie? With Gigi not talking at all to her? So do you feel like Gigi, like her and Gigi do talk eventually at some point in time or whatever? Is there anything that's like...
Sure. I mean, I honestly didn't even really think about it too much. I thought it was fine. Didn't even bother me whatsoever.
Okay. It did, but for me, I was like, well, maybe they do. Maybe they don't. Right. And there's a documentary that was out that's called Kingdom of Dreams and Madness, where like the assistant to Miyazaki, I'm not actually sure what her job is, so it's assistant. She asked him about that very thing about Gigi not talking, and he's like, well, what would Gigi say?
Right.
It's like, I guess that's true. I guess there's really no point. Like, it's kind of like they just
know. Like, shoehorn something in for him to say.
Yeah.
Just so, like, yeah, there's no point in it. You kind of just assume that they're fine.
Yeah. And this is actually a movie that I remember being on Cartoon Network. And I remember just going, this is a stupid, dumb girl movie, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. So, let me tell you another story now. I was 6 when this movie was dubbed. All right, man.
Yeah. It was on Cartoon Network in 2006, though.
Guess I was 15.
Stupid, dumb girl movie.
What time I was kind of like getting over Cartoon Network, I guess. Which is kind of disgusting. Yeah. That was kind of that phase where it's like, oh, cartoons are dumb. So uncool. And I'm like, oh, you're playing Pokemon now. So it's like, whatever. So it's like, whatever.
Cartoons are dumb. I'm going to go watch some Halo machinimas on the internet.
Whoa, what are you trying to say?
The only one that aired on Cartoon Network that I saw was Spirited Away, but we'll talk about that later.
So like I said, this movie that like whenever I saw it, I was like, this is to be dumb, but I was like, hey, you know what? I'll watch it. I might like this. So it's kind of like, I kind of prejudged it, which I shouldn't have done. I don't know why I did that. This last one, I think this was also the last one I watched too.
Ooh, same here.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to watch it. I'm not sure if I'm gonna like it or not. It kind of looks kind of goofy. Bad goofy.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know. Okay, I'll just watch
it. Good goofy like the Goofy movie. Bad goofy like the extremely goofy movie.
Excuse me. Whoa. Hold on. Okay, now let's pause the podcast for a second here. In the recording right now, let's pause for a second.
Nope.
The disco scene in True Goofy movie was the most cinematic experience I've ever experienced in my life.
As you were saying, Chris.
Like I was saying, the man who voiced Goofy was just fantastic. No, I prejudged the movie. I prejudged it, and I was wrong. I'll admit that I was wrong. I was an idiot for doing that. I don't know why I did that. Great movie.
I was totally definitely looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you.
Mostly because I figured it would kind of be in the same vein as Totoro, so like I definitely was looking forward to that. Unfortunately, as we were saying before, Disney makes these movies like so inaccessible. Like there's no place like any sort of online distribution where you can like just rent the movie for a couple bucks. Hard enough to like find them in like. Can't find them in like video stores or whatever. Like you have to go buy the freaking movie in order to see it. And it's like, you know, oftentimes, like, you know, like with this one in particular, it's like, you know, I think I'll like this one, but I you know, I don't want to spend $20 on a chance that, you know, I know you did, Chris, but
yeah, I spent more than $20 on $20 on a lot of chances. Oh my
God. But yeah, like there's no way, and so I had to seek alternative methods to see it, which I never do, by the way. I never do that, but because they make it so insanely difficult to see these movies, I had to.
Why? So Disney, please don't sue us, please.
Fuck you, Disney.
No.
Eat me, bro.
No. No.
Make your movies more accessible and take down the prices a little bit.
Yeah, that's something about Disney marketing. It's like they have like the most brilliant marketing scheme of all time. Like they'll like release, you know, like Beauty and the Beast over, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like out of their vault. It's like, you know, it cost you $20 a movie, whatever. But if you don't buy it in time, it goes back in the vault and you can't buy it till next year comes out of the vault. And like you go on Amazon, when it's inside the vault, it's like $100 for the movie. It's like, no. Yeah. Like, no, that's not how it should be. That's not how it should be.
You know, while that's going to make them more money, it's also going to detract people, and they're going to, you know, just pirate the movie to watch it instead of, you know, paying to see it properly because they cost way too freaking much.
You know what Netflix has done? Dropped all the piracy that's happened. It dropped a lot of it down.
Mm-hmm. And I mean that, but, hey. You know, I'm able to easily see a bunch of Disney's movies on Netflix, but, you know, not these. Because, nope. You know, they're weird Japanese movies, so obviously, you know, they're not as good as Lilo and Stitch.
Hey, Lilo and Stitch is an American classic.
Not as good as the extremely goofy movie, am I right?
Also, American classic. Great movie. I love the part where they throw the fishing line into the river.
I like the guy with the cheese whiz. Or is that in the first one?
That was on the first one, by the way.
Both of those movies suck.
So, it's the Leaning Tower of Cheese.
So I'm probably eventually going to buy Kiki's, you know, once Disney brings it out of their fucking vault or whatever.
I will rate this movie, by the way. I'm going to rate this one. I rate it 5 Goofies out of 5.
Oh, gosh.
Whatever the laugh is.
Something like that, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Alright, Porco Rosso.
Yes. Boy.
This story right here, I was kind of confused about why it is that Miss Piggy was playing the main character, but I just, you know, I kind of liked it. Because Jim Henson let this go out.
It's kind of like when they did, you know, Disney did Hercules. I didn't really understand why, like, Danny DeVito was the only one who wasn't animated.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Yeah, they just had, like, Miss Piggy in this movie.
Anyway, so Porco Rosso. This one's, like, kind of, like, one of his, like, smallest films, probably.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of, like, story, probably, I'm sure even budget was probably pretty doggone small.
Oh, probably.
But, man, I got a kick out of this movie, though. I really enjoyed it.
Nice.
That was awesome.
The only thing I wrote down for this movie was
Michael Keaton did an amazing job.
I should have written down that Michael Keaton did an amazing job, but I put it was okay. Meh. I wouldn't buy it. Probably won't see it again.
That's sad. I actually liked the story. I thought it was kind of enjoyable. It was like, you know, it's nice. Like it was like a small adventure story.
I mean, yeah, like it's fine. It's good for one watch. I don't know that I would ever, like, go out of my way to see it again. If it was on it, like, I wouldn't, you know, like, ugh, Porco Rosso, what a piece of garbage, what a piece of, you know, stinky poop. I would,
I think we'd go, like, with a pig pun there for a second.
Yeah, what a ham.
It's too late for that.
Porco Rosso.
It's too late now. Too late.
What a, fuck
Stop.
Me.
Stop. Stop. Anyway, you know, one thing that stuck out to me in this movie was, like, the plane that he flies. I was like, oh, that dumb plane. I was like, there's no way that was a real thing. Look it up. That's a real plane design.
Oh, wow.
I was wrong. I was absolutely wrong. I was like, oh, my God. How did we ever get off the ground in the first place? Like, seriously. Like, when flight was invented, were they just like, okay, I have this great idea. hold my beer. It's like that was like that's like I think it's like Wilbur and like Orville Wilbur like just got started that conversation was like watch this guys. Watch us drive off this cliff with this with these two planks of wood.
Dude, do you guys dare me to jump off this cliff with a plank of wood?
There's no way they did that sober. Man. And if they did, then they need to see help. Yes. Like,
well, they're dead now, so.
They are?
I would think so.
Okay.
Idiots. Okay, so I think that's probably about all I have to say this right here. I say, maybe I shouldn't say buy it, I guess, since you weren't a big fan of it, but
right.
I mean, I like
if you like have the chance to see it, like definitely don't turn it down. Just unless you have, you know, you could watch something else. If you could watch Spirited Away, you know, watch that instead of Porco Rosso.
Hey man, like I said, Porco Rosso is nice. I like it, so
yeah.
That's kind of like how we differ.
Yes.
So let's move on to the next one.
Princess Mononoke.
Yay. This one we actually watched. This one we watched together because we were doing a traditional the feature we talked about earlier called Living at Midnight, which would be released on insert release date here. And it's really great. I could see, like, I was watching it more like watching like Tyler watch it. Because like your face was like just like so excited to watch this movie.
I was giddy. I was like,
yeah, you're like worried. Like you were like the kind of like the guy like it's like his head like cut off whatever the boar was like bleeding out. And you're like, this is amazing.
Because it was so different from everything else.
Yeah, this is probably like the darkest. Was it PG-13?
Yeah, it's a PG-13. Yeah. I think we described it. Like we were talking to David Young about it, and
who was an actor, by the way, in our feature film
that's After Midnight, which is coming out. Insert date here.
You cover your mouth that first. Insert date here, so people can't see the lips moving.
Oh right, okay, yeah. But yeah, we were describing it as like if like Miyazaki was influenced by Tarantino, like if he had just watched Kill Bill and made a movie.
I would say it's like Star Wars, created by Tarantino. Without the Star Wars,
yeah, which doesn't like the box say like
something. Oh, does it really? Oh yeah, it says the Star Wars of animated features. It's stupid.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Makes no sense, but whatever. Actually, what year does this come out? I wonder.
97, I think.
Oh, makes no sense at all.
Yeah,
I was like, but like episode one came out. Whatever. No, it still hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
The heck.
They did the re-releases, so they had Star Wars on the brain.
Maybe.
One weird casting choice in this was Billy Bob Thornton.
And it
I kind of just like kept thinking in my head, like, did he like really want to do this movie, or was he just like, you know, cast to do it and just kind of showed up and started?
What was this lines? Before or after his big divorce or a breakup with Angelina Jolie?
I'm not sure.
He had to pay for all the blood transfusions he needed to get after. Never mind. We should probably get into that. Never mind.
After Angelina Jolie drank all of it.
Dude, they were really weird together. Okay, man, they did some weird things, all right?
We all do some weird things. It's cult love, Chris.
Okay, there's a difference. Huge difference. I'm
so sorry for you that you haven't felt love and drank some blood. You freak.
Is that why she has enormous lips? She does.
I would definitely say that this is like the best animation that he had done so far. I mean, it would be surpassed, of course, but like definitely, you know, a huge step up from, especially Porco Rosso.
To me, this kind of feels like him taking like the maybe like things that like he learned in Nausicaä. And like bumping it up to like another level.
Yeah.
I put the same category as that movie.
Yeah. This is definitely the category of big action adventure, save the forest type movie.
Yeah. This one I really enjoyed. Like I remember, like I think I watched this one after I'd watched Spirited Away, Howl's, and then this was like my fourth or fifth movie I'd watched of his.
Yeah, this is my fourth one.
And it's kind of weird how that worked out. I guess like. Yeah. Anyway. And I was like, okay, well, let's see what this one right here is like. And I was just like, I was so surprised by, like, how gory it really was.
Yeah, it's a very different step. And I was gonna say earlier, when we were talking about this in Nausicaä, like, a lot of directors, they'll kind of, you know, do a movie early on in their careers and then, like, either directly sort of remake it in a way, or, like, have a different story but try and basically do that earlier thing again but better. This definitely does feel like that, and it's a, like, yeah, it's sort of a better version of Nausicaä.
I think the visuals of the forest spirit, mm-hmm, was probably one of the freakiest things I've ever seen in my entire life. So when they, like, when the thing was reaching up into, like, the sky with this neck like a giraffe, and it kept, like, its head cut off.
Yeah.
That was so disgusting, and I loved every minute of it. I was absolutely disgusted the entire time. I loved it, 'cause, like, it had the creepiest face on it. It's like this creepy, like, I don't know, like, how'd you describe that face? It was just like, ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
Oh my god, it's everything. All like the designs and stuff are just great. Just beautiful artwork, beautiful, gory, disgusting artwork.
Oh, the CGI in here.
Oh yes.
First time you had CGI in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was so awesome to do that in this right here, because, like, what he does with the CGI is, like, makes it look like something that's, like, that doesn't belong properly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the little worms or whatever that's, like, attacking his arm, that looks perfect because, like, it looks like something that doesn't belong. It's like
but at the same time,
it's unnatural. Blends. It's unnatural, and yeah, it really blends really well too.
Yeah.
It's just the unnatural looking look to it, just because it doesn't match anything else in the movie.
Right.
Really works in its favor.
Right. It's that same sort of feel like they would go for in something like, you know, Courage the Cowardly Dog, for an example. Like, it's, you know, regular 2D cell animation, and then, like, they would use, like, claymation and CG for, like, monsters and stuff to make it really unsettling and pop out more.
Yeah, and that was used very well in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, well, they said CGI, I was like, oh, no, they have a bunch of CGI in here. It was like, no, this is perfect. Like, yeah. The use of it is absolutely the right way to do it. Utilized
for a practical purpose.
Yeah. I'd only rate this 5 Mononokes out of 7.
I gave it 7 Dragon Balls.
7 Dragon Balls. I meant 7 Mononokes out of 5, by the way, unless I reversed it. Dumb jokes.
Like, I would definitely buy this movie. Eventually.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
It's a great movie.
Yes.
All right, guys, we're going to call it here for this episode, but we'll be back to cover the rest of the movies in part 2 next week. Thank you for listening to the Illumination Cinema Movie Podcast. Be sure to leave your correspondence and subscribe for more. For updates on this show and our other projects, check out illuminationcinema.com.